8:39 here on the Big 550 KTRS. It's Paul Harris filling in for McGraw. Kelly's here with me in the studio.
Morning.
And on the phone with us now is Charles Miller, who's the president of Next Gen Space, a company that recently came out with a study that says that if NASA really put its mind to it, we could put humans back on the moon in 5 to 7 years. Charles, welcome to the Big 550.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
What was the original timeline for getting back there? I know we have not been on the moon since Apollo 17 in 1972, and as a space buff myself, I've been annoyed at our lack of return to the lunar surface or to other worlds. What is NASA's plan, and what is your plan that makes it go much faster?
Well, NASA's current plan is to send humans first to an asteroid as a kind of test, a small boulder, they might say, and then send humans to Mars. And they somewhere out in the 2030s or beyond, are their existing budget and plans can get them maybe sending one trip to Mars. So more than 20 or more years from now, they may have a trip to Mars, and they have a test flight once every 4 years about.
Okay. But your study says that we could probably get to the moon in 5 to 7 years. How can we do that? How can we do that with the current NASA budget?
Well, we're going to use something that NASA's proven works. Is they've proven commercial partnerships work that are much more lower cost and faster and more innovative. And if you apply that same NASA-proven partnership with commercial industry, like we're using to the space station for transporting cargo and crew, and you say, okay, instead of transporting just cargo and crew to the space station, we take them to the moon, it turns out you can do it much faster and at much lower cost. And so we could get there within NASA's existing budget in 5 to 7 years from turning, authority proceed, which is another way of saying the turning the contract off.
You're talking about using Elon Musk's company SpaceX, which does a lot of the transporting to the International Space Station now, right?
They would be one, and Boeing and, say, United Launch Alliance would be another. We think there absolutely needs to be competition because any one company has problems now and then, and so you need redundancy.
Okay. I can hear listeners saying, the moon, been there, done that. Why do we need to go back?
Well, they haven't been there like this. This is going back in a order of magnitude more affordably, and it's also bringing the moon, incorporating the moon into the economic resources of our economy. We're going to, this time, go back and mine the moon for its resources, particularly its propellant, and we're going to use the propellant basically build an industrial base on the moon within our existing budget, and then open up the solar system. We're going to make it much lower cost to send probes and humans anywhere in the solar system than it is now, because we're going to use the low-cost propellant from the moon.
So you're not talking just about going and visiting the moon as we did with the Apollo program. And, of course, last week was the 46th anniversary of Armstrong and Aldrin putting the first footprints on the moon. You're not talking about just going there and driving around in a rover and taking a look at the lunar landscape and doing experiments and then coming right back home, are you?
No, those are stunts, and although you could do some good science, we're about incorporating the moon into the global economy and developing the resources and economic growth, and there's a whole bunch of new jobs that are going to be created out of this, and we're going to establish American leadership on a global basis, that America is leading an international partnership to use free enterprise for something that most people don't think can be done. But we can do this. NASA's applying the NASA partnerships with commercial industry like SpaceX and Boeing, we can go to the moon and do so within our existing budget. This has no budget increase required. We just have to change how we operate. It's a new way.
Does it have to be an American-only effort? After all, we do work on the International Space Station, and it was the European Space Agency that put the Philae lander on the comet. Why do we have to make it just an American thing?
It absolutely shouldn't be only American. We should go there with our closest partners at the International Space Station. In fact, that's what we propose. And our allies, our closest allies, Japan and Europe and Canada, They want to go back with us to the moon. They've been asking for America, you know, to do an international partnership, that the next step is a partnership with the moon. And we just didn't think it was affordable. America's tried three times before, and we've been using the old way, mostly government-led, government cost-plus contracts, and it's just not affordable. And what we did in this study, funded by NASA, was with a bunch of former NASA people, is we looked at using a new partnership way, and it changes everything. It makes it much more affordable, and for, you know, the people who are driving to work, you know, this is just common sense, that American free enterprise and innovation can be much lower cost and do things that otherwise people don't think can be done. But for American government and inside Washington, D.C., this is a new idea.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Charles Miller is our guest from NextGen Space. You are probably aware that there are lots of people within NASA and within the world space community who say it's not necessary for us to send humans up there anymore. We can do a lot of stuff with robotics that we don't do, that we don't need humans for, and that would be a lot cheaper and easier to do because you don't have to worry about, oh, there's no air, for example. What do you say to them?
Well, it depends what you want. So if you just want to go to Pluto, of course. And if you want to send a probe to Mars to go look over the crater and dig up some water, of course, that's absolutely correct. But if you want to mine the moon and use the resources of the moon to expand life into the solar system, then you're obviously going to take humans. I think most American people take it for granted that someday humanity and life itself is going to expand into the solar system. And so just sending robots misses the point. And the question is, can we do it affordably, and can we do it in a way that grows the economy and doesn't cost the taxpayers more money? And the answer is yes, we can.
I think there are international treaties that say that no country can own the moon. So who would own the material mined from the moon?
Well, there's actually, Paul, you're very smart. Other than Paul Harris becoming king over the moon, that there's a treaty that would prevent you from doing that, owning property on the moon. But you can own resources that are improved on the moon. We've already, America and Russia, brought stuff back from the moon, and we've actually traded them. And so there is pretty clear path forward for using mineral rights on the moon without owning the moon. And so the simplest way for most people to think is you don't need to own the land out west to mine that land. So you can get mining rights on minerals in western government-owned lands without owning that land. So you can do similar things on the moon. The biggest issue is that our international partners won't like us doing that. So that's another good reason we should do this as an international partnership.
Okay, so we get our friends together and we go up there and we mine whatever these materials are from the moon. And you're talking about setting up a permanent human base there?
Yes. Well, we would have a permanent base there, and we would actually, most of the work, most of the time, would be done by the robot. The jobs of the astronauts would be primarily in the industrial base to repair and maintain the robots, and because they'll break down, and you need to have somebody there who's some jack-of-all-trades, MacGyver-like guy who's fixing things. And you're also probably going to have a lot of growth for private passenger travel, and a lot of countries are going to want to send their first astronauts to the moon ever. No one, America's the only country in the world that's sent anybody to the moon.
Yep.
Every other country is going to want to have their first person that's visited the moon and come home, and they'll pay for it, and American companies will make money doing it.
Do you envision space tourism?
Oh, absolutely. So Space Adventures has already sold two tickets to take a trip around the moon, not to touch it, just to go around the moon and come home, and it's $150 million a seat. So for about that same price, we think that you can take a trip to the moon and stay there for a week or a month. So, Paul, if you got a spare $150 million sitting in your pocket, in the next 10 to 15 years, if this happens, you might be able to take a trip to the moon.
You know, it turns out I'm just $150 million short, Charles.
Well, you have an alternative, if you are a MacGyver-like guy with an engineer that can fix anything, and you can play the guitar and sing like your favorite pop singer, you know, they'll hire you, and they'll take you up, and the 105th person who buys the ticket will want somebody to sing at them and make them meals and fix all the equipment.
Yeah, I think a chef might be more important than a singer, because how many of those tubes in a meal could you possibly eat? A meal in a tube,
right.
I mean.
They're going to want, if you pay $150 million for a trip, you want to be entertained, and you want some good food on your trip to the moon.
All right, so we set up this human base on the moon, and we set up this mining operation, and we use that material to bring it back to Earth, or are we now using it as basically a launch platform to get us to Mars and elsewhere?
Well, elsewhere. So once you have propellant, low-cost propellant, that you don't have to take all the way out to Earth because it's much easier to get material off the moon, it makes it easier to go anywhere else in the solar system. You can use the propellant to send humans or robots throughout the solar system much more affordably. So it becomes very valuable real estate. Think of it as a Middle East square. So it's a desert that where there is no life, and you're turning it into useful resources and growing and making economic growth and making things much more feasible.
What has the reaction been from NASA since you published your study?
Well, I have lots of friends within NASA who are quite enthusiastic. And the leadership of NASA, though, they can't get out ahead of where the White House and Congress is, though. So they're being quiet. And the real question is, what does the White House and what does the Congress want to do? And I think this president is getting ready to, he's leaving office. He isn't going to do anything new. So the real question is, what will the next president do, and what will this Congress do?
But why do they even need to wait to hear from Congress and the White House if they already have a budget within which you say they could do this?
Well, that budget takes a while to change the strategy, and they would need to, by the time they get everybody, the way our government works, lined up to change the strategy, it takes a year or two.
Yeah.
And so they can't, their budget's been approved for the existing program. They can't go off and just change the budget without approval of the White House and Congress.
I see. Well, I remember how important it was to get the whole country behind the space race in the 60s that originally got us to the moon on June 20th, 1969, and how not just the country but the world was caught up in the fact that we were putting men on top of a missile and sending it a quarter million miles away to the moon. Do you think we could regenerate that same kind of interest with a mission like this?
Well, absolutely. So, Paul, just imagine in our existing budget, we could use American Free Enterprise to take an international partnership, put people on the moon, and our kids could look up and you could say, that was American Free Enterprise, that was American ingenuity.
Yep.
And we have people on the moon because we are the freest, most innovative country on this planet. That sends a powerful message to the world. And a lot of people now are worried about that China's ascending. Well, China is not a free country. My position is that we should invite those who are free democracies based on free enterprise to join us on the moon. And that will be the ultimate shining city on the hill.
Well,
carry a powerful message for everybody.
Yeah, we may have to invite China because they're the landlord now, but I get your point. Charles Miller is the president of Next Gen Space and the publisher of this new study that says that we could get to the moon in the next 5 to 7 years and set up a permanent base a decade after that. Charles, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Paul.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.